I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels' family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Holly Fry.
And I am Tracy V. Wilson.
And today we are talking about an area of history that I super love.
Yes.
Which is any Chinese history. I really love it. It's such a rich, rich tapestry. It's been going on for so long and there have been so many interesting dynasties and cultural things that it's just, I love Chinese history.
Yay.
I love it. So today we're talking about Chinese Empress Dowager Cixi, who has been characterized with a great deal of gossip and speculation. She's often described as pure evil, and her story includes some sexual scandals, poisoning scandals, and without a doubt, she was exceptionally powerful, and she actually ruled the Qing dynasty for more than 45 years. But in all of these characterizations, they kind of come down to archetypes, and they're not really a full picture of a human being, which she was. So I thought it would be interesting to examine a little bit her life and some of the things that we do know, things that have been theorized, and probably the truth, which is somewhere in the middle.
Right.
Yeah. So she was born on November 29th of 1835, and she was actually the daughter of a low-ranking military officer.
She became a concubine for Emperor Xiaofeng's harem at the age of 16, and this was really a great honor. It might sound unpleasant to be sent off to a harem when you're a teenage girl, but this was a swank appointment.
Yeah,
at the time.
She was chosen because, you know, they thought she was beautiful and lovely and had many gifts.
Right. Xiaofeng was pretty new to being emperor at that point. He had reigned for less than 2 years when this happened.
And the story goes that her beautiful singing voice actually drew the emperor's attention, and she quickly became one of his favorites. And her popularity really paid off with the emperor, really paid off in a big way. She bore Xiaofeng his only son, Prince Zaichun, in 1856. And at this point, she was given the title of virtuous imperial concubine, which is like third in rank. So for anyone that doesn't know about how that works in Chinese history, there were many wives and they each had a ranking order, and she was getting promoted based on being a favorite and then bearing a son. And then the next year, she moved up to the second rank and was given the title Virtuous Honorable Concubine.
And meanwhile, while her, you know, personal life and childbearing and relationship with the emperor was going on, the Second Opium War was also underway. And that could easily be its own podcast episode. It's very involved, but the Cliff Notes version is this. Britain, France, Russia, and America were fighting for diplomatic embassies and access to Chinese ports and foreign travel rights in China so that foreigners could actually travel through the country. And they also wanted to legalize the opium trade. And there were other elements of their war that they wanted. Those weren't the only things, but those were the big primary ones. And the war actually ended in 1860 with the ratification of the Treaty of Tientsin under the Convention of Peking.
In 1861, Xiaofeng fell ill and died at the Imperial Summer Resort, where he had gone after fleeing Peking during the war.
So when Xiaofeng died, that left, of course, the emperor position open, and
he had an heir.
He did, because
of this relationship,
had borne him this son. And that son was only 5 at the time. And he became Emperor Tongji, which made Shiji the honored mother Empress Dowager. But shortly before he had died, Xiaofeng had actually appointed 8 ministers to assist the young emperor as ruler. And those 8 ministers were headed up by Su Shun.
Allegedly, Shiji had been handling some state affairs for Xiaofeng while he was sick, and was not really interested in handing over this power to anybody else. But this is not really well substantiated.
Right. I mean, we can't know what was really going on in her mind. We don't even know really how much she was or was not handling. This is one of those parts of it that's really kind of based on rumor and speculation of the people around her.
Right. A lot of what was going on in the Forbidden City was just not transparent to anyone else.
Right. And they were, you know, at the Imperial Summer Resort at this point, but yeah, their whole inner workings were very isolated, and they kind of projected outward what they wanted people to see, but the interior we really don't know all that much about. But what we do know is that either through an agreement on their part or through an assignment, I have seen it characterized both ways in historical texts, Shiji formed an alliance with the Empress Dowager Chan, who was the one wife that outranked her. And this alliance together gave them more power than if either of them had tried to stand alone. They actually could make some decisions and hold some sway in court and in the political decisions with the two of them united. And she also allied with 2 of the imperial princes, Gong and Chun. So those were brothers of the deceased emperor. And Shiji and the now young emperor, her son, preceded the funeral procession that went back to Beijing, Peking, since it's changed names many times in the Western characterization of the city. And in the time before the ministers could arrive, since they had preceded the procession at that point, she colluded with those two princes to charge the regent ministers that Xiaofeng had appointed with incompetency in that second opium war that we talked about just a moment ago. Shiji and Prince Gong penned an accusatory document entitled 8 Guilts of the Regent Ministers. And basically they just set up this thing that, like, they were poor advisors. They really allowed other countries to walk all over us. You know, they weakened the emperor's position. And as a consequence of all of this intrigue, all of those regents were dismissed, all of the 8 that Xiaofeng had appointed from his deathbed. But 3 of them were actually executed. And that's another area where things get a little gossipy in historical record and speculative. Some people think that Shiji wanted to make an example out of them. Others say that she wasn't really involved in that decision. But we do know that they were no longer in power. And basically, now, Shiji had all the power.
Right. This put the duo of Empress Dowagers in power as regents. But Empress Dowager Chan didn't really have a lot of interest in political matters, so Shiji assumed the role of leader, and Prince Gong was appointed in a position as the emperor's aide.
And it's interesting that she became so powerful because women held a lower position both socially and politically than men at this point. So Shiji was basically running the country from behind a screen. Like literally when people would come to court and they would have discussions, she would be sitting behind a screen listening to everything, but she couldn't actually be seen by the people she was having a direct, powerful impact on.
She ruled as regent for 12 years until her son, Emperor Tongzhi, turned 17 in 1873. Shiji stepped down as regent to let her son rule on his own, but he died 2 years later at the age of 19. Officially, he had smallpox, but there are lots of rumors that he may have died of a sexually transmitted disease. Those, as with many of the things that are coming up in this episode, that's never been substantiated.
Yeah, they issued their official proclamation from the palace, but we don't know. But what we do know is that when Tongzhi died, Shiji's nephew and the son of Prince Chun, so it's Shiji's nephew by marriage, Guangxu became the emperor. But he was only 3 years old at the time. And this, once again, put Shiji in a position of power because she actually adopted Guangxu as her son as part of this whole like power restructuring for the new emperor.
There's some controversy about how Guangxu became the emperor. When Tongzhi died without an heir, one of his concubines was pregnant. The concubine died while the debate about who would be the next emperor was still going on, and so the possible heir was never born. So we don't really know if this would have been a boy or a girl. We don't really know whether this child who wasn't born would have really been the next in line. Which means, of course, that there was suspicion that this was possibly murder.
Yeah, and this feeds into some of the stories of Shiji being really, you know, an evil, evil woman. That she colluded with others to create this, to ensure that her power remained intact. And that she actually was involved in the murder of this woman. Even though the death was announced publicly, again, the proclamation from the palace was that it was a suicide. Shiji remains a historical suspect, but so do the other princes that were involved. Zhao Feng's brothers that had not come to power when he passed away.
Shiji continued to rule from behind her screen. And even once the new emperor came of age, she still held the reins of power. And this is where things became a little contentious. She and Guangxu diverged in their political views about what they wanted to do. During the First Sino-Japanese War, Guangxu wanted to engage the enemy, but Shiji was, you know, she wanted to compromise, and she blocked his efforts. So after China was defeated, Guangxu started to recognize and think about the ways that he thought China needed to reform.
Yeah, and he really realizing that the old ways were not going to carry the country forward. And so on June 11th of 1898, Guangxu started what is called the 100 Days Reform. And that was a series of proclamations that he issued that were intended to modernize China and revitalize the dynasty. He wanted to change and evolve the country's education, their industry, their foreign affairs. And all of his proclamations were in direct opposition to the conservative Manchu nobility, and especially Shiji.
Because Shiji still held power over the loyal military, it was really easy for her to stage a coup. At this point, Shiji reestablished her role as regent. She got assistance from other people who did not like the reform plans, and she sent the emperor to confinement in Yingtai Terrace for 10 years. The public announcement was that the emperor was sick to the point of being incapacitated.
When in fact, he had really just been shoved off his throne. And then, so he basically stayed there the rest of his life, which didn't last a whole lot longer. Obviously, it was 10 years, and we'll talk about that a little bit in the moment. But as this point of the story and these reformation efforts have happened, Shiji starts to make some missteps. During the Boxer Rebellion of 1900, which was led by the Righteous Fists of Harmony, but they kind of get called the Boxers in translation, Shiji sided with the insurgents, and she was against foreign diplomats and the Chinese Christians. She didn't really want change. She thought that they should protect their heritage and their history and their old ways of doing things. And some historians have theorized that this was actually just a play to minimize damage on the Qing dynasty, and that she was trying to, you know, create as little damage as possible from the rebellion, but it really, really did nothing for her image on the global stage. She was basically saying, no, foreigners, we're not interested in you. And so when the coalition troops had stamped out the rebellion, Shiji was really left with a very ugly reputation as being, you know, unwelcoming and stubborn and close-minded.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be, with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel, for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about comfort hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper, waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
She really wanted to improve her image at this point, so she commissioned a photographer to create portraits of her in 1903. The portraits are staged similarly to ones of Queen Victoria, and they were intended to be given as gifts to visiting dignitaries. But before long, copies were being sold in the street as souvenirs.
And as for helping her reputation, this was not exactly successful. She was still seen as a dangerous dragon lady by Westerners.
And then 5 years after that, on November 14th of 1908, Emperor Guangxu died at the age of 37. Empress Dowager Shiji died the next day, just shy of the age of 74. And this became another part of the intrigue. At the time, there were suspicions that he had been murdered. But then, 100 years later, in 2008, a 5-year research study actually concluded that had examined samples of the emperor's remains. I think 7 of his bones were sampled, both the interior and exterior of his tomb, garments that he had been wearing. And the analysis revealed that the emperor had actually been poisoned with arsenic, more than triple the amount that would have been a fatal dose. And for a while, there was, before this study was finalized, people had suspected that it was one of those things where people sometimes take poison as a medicine, mm-hmm. And that it was a cumulative poisoning. But because of the way the evidence played out, it was obviously like a one huge dose situation. It was an acute onset poisoning, not a cumulative one.
Of course, Empress Dowager Cixi is one of the people suspected in the poisoning because she might have known that she was dying and she didn't want Guangxu and his reforms to take over China.
Yeah, so, and that rumor persists. I mean, there was actually a story that came out around the same time where some of the people that worked on this analysis are pretty confident she was the one who poisoned him.
Right. Well, and there is kind of a trail of possibly mysterious deaths in her wake earlier in her life.
Yes, and there is one account that someone mentions of a close friend of hers who was supposed to be a eunuch. There's also some rumor that maybe he wasn't really a eunuch and they had a sexual relationship, but someone saw him carrying food into the emperor right before he died. So there is some evidence that suggests it. However, we don't know for certain.
It's very circumstantial.
Yeah. Shiji was incredibly powerful and politically strong, but unfortunately her anti-foreign conservatism and some pretty bad administrative missteps in her later reign really, really caused some problems. For example, she spent naval funds on a summer palace, which weakened the military and precipitated the defeat in the Sino-Japanese War. And her mausoleum, which is built prior to her death, is actually filled with precious materials in amounts that exceed most emperors' tombs. She really, like, demanded that she have only the best things, and in numbers that were just sort of ridiculous at the time. You know, it's like, I think I saw a thing that said that most tombs had, like, 3 golden pillars, and hers has something like 64.
Whoa!
I mean, she really wanted only the best and most immaculate and most amazing. And unfortunately, all of that kind of behavior, and particularly her conservatism and unwillingness to kind of open China's doors to the rest of the world, really were direct contributors to the demise of the Qing dynasty. There's also an interesting footnote in all of this, which is that the accounts of her intrigues in her life have actually caused their own sort of story of drama amongst biographers.
Early accounts were mostly written by George Morrison and linguist reporter Edmund Backhouse, who wrote reports for Westerners from Peking in the late 1800s and early 1900s.
In the early 1990s, Sterling Seagrave wrote a biography of Shiji called The Dragon Lady. And in his book, he really discredits Morrison and Backhouse. Several sources have shown that Backhouse fabricated some of his stories. And even Morrison's diary mentions that he had discovered that, that Backhouse was writing fake stories, presumably to further his career. But that at that point, Morrison was so deep in that he would have discredited himself had he blown the whistle. So it's kind of interesting.
I feel like that's a story that we continue to hear today sometimes when people fabricate craziness and then get it published.
But there is also resistance to Seagrave's version of the story because he really paints a much more sympathetic picture of Shiji and characterizes her as a fearful figurehead. And, you know, she knows that she's trapped in an impoverished dynasty and she's really struggling with everything around her. But as often is the case, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle, because there are things like evidence that she misspent naval funds making herself a beautiful summer home, and that she had this, you know, insane mausoleum built for herself. And so those are not really the things that I would normally associate with a fearful person who is very, you know, scared and trapped. Though she may have had, I'm sure she was a human. She probably had fears and concerns. But I think somewhere between those two is really where we get the reality.
Right. Plus the trail of bodies. I mean, that could entirely be coincidence, but at the same time, it seems a little unlikely that there was not something going on.
There's a lot of death and intrigue in that story.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be, with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel, for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about Comfort Hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
You also have some listener mail, do you not?
I do indeed. This is actually from our Facebook page, and it's from our listener, Lily Ann. And she says, I was wondering if you could encourage your listeners to give blood. My answer, absolutely. There was recently a major tragedy in my area. A fertilizer plant exploded, leaving many people injured, and the blood banks are in desperate need of donations. This serves as a reminder that a tragedy can happen at any moment, and the best way to deal with it is to be prepared. People are so willing to flood blood banks after a major incident, but that leaves every other day lacking. If we could set up a great supply before something like this happens, then we wouldn't be in such dire need when we need blood the most. So true.
Very true.
I would also encourage people to give platelets if that is something they are interested in.
Right.
That is another thing that is much needed and needed all the time. Platelets can only exist for 5 days, I think, once they're donated, so they need a constant supply. Much like blood, these things go lacking in tragedies sometimes.
Right. So, and if you cannot do either thing for whatever reason,
yeah,
there are many other ways to contribute, either with money or time.
Yeah. We highly encourage that. I'm not usually a candidate for any of that because I don't have enough iron in my blood no matter how much steak I eat. So I'm trying desperately, but so I try to sometimes volunteer or I'll help do patient check-in. If you would like to write to us, you may do so. You can email us at historypodcast@discovery.com. We're on Twitter at MissedInHistory, and we're on Facebook at facebook.com/historyclassstuff. We're also on Tumblr at missedinhistory.tumblr.com, and you can find us on Pinterest. If you would like to learn more about what we talked about today, you can go to our website and type in the words Chinese traditions, and you will come up with an article called How Chinese Traditions Work. If you'd like to learn more about that or anything else your mind can conjure, you can do so at our website, and that website is howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Audible.com is the leading provider of downloadable digital audiobooks and spoken word entertainment. Audible has more than 100,000 titles to choose from to be downloaded to your iPod or MP3 player. Go to audiblepodcast.com/history to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You ever get the feeling the city walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating your soul? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe chase some elk, fish a private stream. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there, and finding your own piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forest, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, location, the kind of hunting or fishing you dream of. Land.com. It's where the adventure begins.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced.
Bring it!
Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.